On the line now, I have Brian McLaughlin, who is CEO of Inner City Helping Homes. Good afternoon, Brian.
Afternoon, John. How are you?
And thanks very much for taking the call. Now, you're calling on the Minister to urgently introduce the Cold Winter Initiative, the Winter Beds Initiative.
But yes, for 200 beds, that's correct, yeah.
Before we get into that, Brian, will you just remind our listeners what Inner City Helping Homes is all about?
Yeah, so ICHH is a volunteer-run, non-government-funded charity. We do an outreach service 7 nights a week, and we offer a 7-day advocacy service. We're based on Amiens Street, and the office will be open average 16 hours a day. So I know as the crisis has continued to get worse, unfortunately, the demand for our services has also increased.
Now, in this cold snap, the weather's getting colder and colder, so is this putting lives on the line, Brian?
Absolutely, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, we've already seen over the weekend just how cold the weather has gotten. Now, we've been in contact quite frequently with the Dublin Regional Homes Executive, asking them when the beds are going to be coming into the system. We've had serious issues in the past couple of years where the extra 200 beds didn't actually come online until December. And we are aware that a number of homeless emergency accommodation units have actually closed down in the last couple of weeks. Now, the DRHE are stating that they have gotten new places in place for them, so extra beds are there. But the extra 200 beds that come in for the cold weather, we feel it's urgently needed now. There has been risks, as you know, of threats of snow on high ground and so forth over the course of the week. So we feel this is urgent and it will save lives.
So where are these beds, Brian, themselves?
They have different units across the city now. It's usually the same similar enough ones that they tend to go back to, but we're not aware. We've asked for details as to exactly what units have closed down and what beds have closed and what units will be reopening and where the extra beds are coming from. Unfortunately, we're met by a bit of a wall of silence by the DRHE. We have requested a meeting with them about it, but we're waiting to hear back. They still haven't replied to us regarding the meeting.
Now, I'm reading reports here that some shops and cafes in Dublin and surrounding counties are refusing to fill flasks with hot water. And they're moving homeless people on, so...
Yeah, that's something we've come across before. I mean, you'll have the odd example where there are places, for example, our outreach teams would bring out 2 burkos of boiling water with them when they go out every night to make their tea and their coffee and their soup and pot noodles and so forth. So if it's a busy night for them, there are cases where we do run out of water, and we have had issues in one or two places trying to get a refill. But in saying that, there has been a few shops and pubs, for that matter, that are actually really good to us, that if the teams are out and they need a fill up, they will do it for it. But unfortunately, not everyone thinks the same way.
So you're, as I said, you're urging the minister to really mobilise this the Winter Beds initiative, and you haven't heard anything back. You say you're met with a wall of silence.
That's correct. I mean, we would interact with the DRHE and ask them out straight, you know, via emails and on social media exactly what's happening. So we kind of look for specifics. You know, we want to be able to tell our outreach teams what situation they're going to be facing when they're out in the street every single night. I mean, they're dealing with anywhere between kind of 130 and 170 people a night, every night. So it is an urgency. And I mean, we've had 26 deaths on the street approximately in the last 15 months. Most recent there was one in Monaghan last week and one in Galway a couple of weeks beforehand. So we feel that these beds are an absolute essential to get people off the streets during the cold weather and to make sure that they're safe and that they're warm, at least, if nothing else.
Yeah. Now, I spoke earlier on the show about the whole homeless situation, and it's terrible what's happening, and it's very, very serious. Now, you're on the front line there, and with regards to people sleeping rough, is there any improvement at all, Brian?
Not at all, no, John. We're not seeing any improvement whatsoever. I mean, our numbers continue to rise. I mean, you'll always see the real telling time, I think, for ourselves will be around the winter time, because it's so cold out in the streets that, you know, people that are out there are only out there as a necessity. I mean, we had an example last night where two guys called to our door fairly late and were looking for a bed, and unfortunately they had gone through to the free phone number, had been 60th in the queue. And when they got down to second in the queue, the phone battery died. So they came up to us and asked us to make the phone call for them. But unfortunately, again, limited supply of beds, limited supply of sleeping bags. And, you know, it was a horrible night last night. So we helped them as much as we could. But, you know, there simply isn't enough beds in the system. And I think one of the biggest issues that we have is that there are actually a lot of people out in the street that don't feel safe in the hostels and actually choose not to go into them. So if it was a case that everybody who rough sleeps actually wanted a bed through the system for the night, they're absolutely massively understated for that. They haven't got anywhere near the amount of beds that would be required for all the people that are sleeping out every single night.
Yeah, and people are afraid to take beds in certain places because of it's antisocial behaviour and drug taking. Is that correct?
previous negative experience, that's what we would come across. I mean, that there are, we've kind of said to the minister ourselves face to face that, you know, we feel that there should be a lot more done with regards to safety in the hostels and, you know, having dry and wet hostels again, because we've had people that might have gone through a rehab program and they've come back out and they're going back into homelessness, and they won't go into hostels because they know what goes on in some of the hostels and they don't feel that it's safe and they feel that there's a good chance they might relapse. So, you know, in those examples, a dry hostel where there's absolutely no drug use, no alcohol use, would be essential for people that are going through the likes of a rehab program to try and get themselves out the other side of it.
Yeah, it is. It's just, as you say, some places are just putting temptation in a person's way. Now, the ICHH, do you actually, can you actually give people beds or sleeping bags?
Oh yeah, sleeping bags we would absolutely, and I mean, we would advocate on their behalf. I mean, we'd have a case management team that's on the go all throughout the day. So, you know, we would advocate and on their behalf and kind of guide people through the quagmire that is homelessness and how to get into a more long-term bed and stuff like that. But we don't have any actual unit ourselves, as in we don't have any emergency accommodation ourselves. Now, we have, in a lot of examples this year, we've had to step in and accommodate families that have come to us late at night where homeless services can't provide them with any accommodation and the alternative option is going to a police station. In those examples, we have stepped in and we have accommodated them at our own cost ourselves because, you know, a guard station is no place for a small child to be sleeping, so we've had to step in. It's been a necessity that we've stepped in, and to be honest, in the first 6 months of this year we spent more accommodating families than we did in the whole of 2017. So it goes to show you how the increase in families and children, that's the biggest thing. I mean, children are the new face of homelessness, and a lot of people don't seem to realise that.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of organisations there, and that always comes up, that children, and especially children out on the street. Are there many children sleeping rough?
No, well, I mean, from our perspective, if we ever got a call to say that there was, we're going to be straight in there and we're going to be making sure that they're taken in off the street straight away. I mean, we can't have a situation in this country where we have, you know, children that are, you know, sleeping in a tent or whatever the case may be. So if we get any reports along those lines, we'll be out straight away and we'll make sure that we get them somewhere, even if it's a case that, worst case scenario, they had to sleep in our office. That's what we would do, because we could not have children sleeping out like that. It just wouldn't be acceptable.
No, it's heartbreaking what's going on. And now,
they're coming into, like, Halloween, for example, you know, it's tonight, and Christmas is coming up in the next couple of months. So, you know, you have nearly 4,000 children that are facing Halloween and homelessness, you know, in emergency accommodation, whether it's a family hub, as they call it, or a bed and breakfast or a hotel. And, you know, that's not acceptable. I mean, these children are the future of the country, and we need to be treating them better, and we need to have enough homes for these families to be able to go into.
Now, it's a huge problem as regards people living in emergency accommodation, as you mentioned, hotel rooms and B&Bs. And sometimes, you know, they can't stay in the hotel room all day. They have to go out and eat, and they're not eating healthily. And if they're attending school, they're trying to do homework. It's a tragedy.
Yeah, like, one thing we've actually done ourselves this year is we've ran a couple of events to try and bring some of the families out of the family hubs and the bed and breakfast to, you know, we had two cinema trips, one to UCD, one to the Helix, and then a couple of weeks back we did a trip to Dublin Zoo for them. And that's just to get them out of the groundhog day of living in the emergency accommodation and, you know, not allowed to have visitors, not the children aren't allowed to have friends over to play. You know, they're not allowed, in some cases they can't cook for themselves. So, you know, it gets very, very monotonous, and it has a huge strain on the mental health of both the adults and the parents and the children. And we've seen reports about the way it stunts development of smaller children, you know, when it comes to learning to walk and stuff like that. I mean, how can you walk in a really small hotel room where all of your family's belongings are there and there could be another sibling or two? And it has a massive impact. You know, these people need homes. They don't need hubs. They don't need hotels. They don't need bed and breakfast. They need proper homes.
And the inner city helping homeless, you're all volunteers, is that correct, Brian?
Yeah, well, we've one paid staff member that we took on this year in an admin role, but outside of that, the other 220 people are all voluntary.
And as I said earlier, I talked to a lot of organisations, and most charity organisations wouldn't have survived without volunteers. Is there training involved with your volunteers, Brian, or
Yeah, so what would happen would be if someone comes along, you know, and they decide they want to do outreach, for example, they would do a two-hour induction with our volunteer coordinator, Anne, who would go through all the safety elements, all the necessary tools that they require when they go out on the street. They'd obviously be put in with an experienced team leader who'd have been out, you know, for a year, maybe 2 years. So they'd have that experience there alongside them. But, you know, it basically, fundamentally, it comes down to volunteer. We have volunteers from 18 up as far as 75. Some are retired, some are in college, some are working full time, and really it's the people of the country again stepping in on a voluntary basis to try and fix a problem that the government should be fixing.
Yeah.
And this is a huge problem. Like, the likes of our organisation, we wouldn't survive without volunteers. But I suppose one of the big differences for us is that homelessness to a lot of people is actually a big business now. It's a huge business. We can stand over the fact that we would happily shut our doors tomorrow and say ICHH are no longer required. There is no more homeless problem. But unfortunately, we're at a million miles away from that happening.
Yeah, that's the ideal situation where you can't close your doors.
For all of us, that would be our ideal solution, absolutely. Because as I say, a lot of our people, you know, they're volunteering here, they're working full time, they have families themselves. So we would happily close the door and say, thank God, we're not needed anymore here, where there's no requirement for us. But it is a big business to so many people that we don't feel that'll ever happen, to be honest.
Right, now what's the story of the cold winter and the winter beds initiative not being introduced? What is the delay, or is it the cold weather has arrived too early? What's going on?
Yeah, well, we suspect, to be honest, we consistently hear from the minister that money is not an object when it comes to homelessness. Yeah, we have this feeling that it is a budget thing, that, you know, you have to learn from your mistakes of previous years. I think that applies to everybody in life. We've been knocking on their door for the last 2-3 years, saying in October, saying December is not soon enough. We need these beds now. There's frost out there now. There's wintry showers. There's rain. And every single year it's dragged on and dragged on and dragged on. Now, the DRHE, in the last communications we had with them, said that the beds were imminent, but that was a week and a half ago, and we still have no sign of them. And as I say, we asked for a face-to-face meeting to clarify these details, but they haven't come back to us about that, unfortunately.
So is there anything our listeners now can do to help, besides volunteering? I think there's a local elections coming up, and there could be a general election. So would you ask our listeners to mention this problem to their local representatives?
Absolutely. I mean, that's fundamentally the biggest thing. I think if anyone calls to your door, whether be it a local election, be it a general election, that'd be the first thing I'd be asking, because we've got, you know, we have a great country, but we've a lot of serious problems in this country, and housing and homelessness is one of the major ones. And as I said, like, if you look from the end of 2014 to 2017, the number of homeless children went up 300%. Now, since Leo Varadkar took over as Taoiseach, 2 children a day have become homeless. So there's no stemming the tide, and it's all these children are the ones that are affected. So we would ask your listeners to absolutely raise it to anyone that calls their door looking for a vote for anything. But on the side of that, if people didn't want to volunteer or didn't have the time to volunteer, they can always support us by doing, you know, a tea and coffee morning, a fundraiser, or a clothes appeal, or a food appeal. Like, a lot of supplies that we bring out in the streets every single night, we're fortunate that people will donate some of them to us, but at times we have to go out and buy them ourselves. So, you know, even doing a drive to give us the products that we bring out and we distribute on the street every night, that'd be a massive help to us.
And people who might be thinking about volunteering, is it all night work?
Not at all, no. So we're open, as I say, from 10 in the morning till 11 at night. So we'd have volunteers, like, say, looking, doing reception all throughout the day in 4-hour stints. We'd have van drivers volunteering. We'd have people volunteering in our storage unit. We'd have volunteers that come in and make the sandwiches every single night. So there are a lot of roles available outside of outreach. I know for some people, outreach is not for them, but there's a lot of other ways you can help ICHH and help our fight against homelessness. Even if you have a couple of hours to spare a week, you know, we'd always ask people to get in touch with us.
Okay, now if there are people out there and they're listening in and they want to volunteer or they want to have a fundraiser, how can they contact yourselves?
Yeah, so we're on all social media platforms, John. We're on Facebook at Inner City Helping Homeless. We're at Twitter at ICHH Dublin. But they can straightforward email through to volunteering@ICHH.ie or fundraising@ICHH.ie. And obviously, if anyone wants to donate money, they can do so via our website, which is ICHH.ie.
Okay, Brian, is there anything now you'd like to add before we go?
I would just ask people, you know, as you're coming into the winter months, I would say to people, look, you have to think about, you know, people that are sleeping on the street every single night. And I know it's something that a lot of people don't see. You know, it tends to happen more at night time. It's late at night that people tend to see it. So I would ask people that, you know, get involved. You know, ask your local representatives, get in touch with them, say, look, what is being done here? Because we're not seeing any improvement in this homeless crisis. It's getting worse month on month. But as I say, if people have time or they would like to do an appeal for us or even get involved in our Christmas shoebox appeal, they can contact us directly, no problem at all.
Okay. And would you take donations of blankets, for instance, or sleeping bags, or would these have to...
Sleeping bags, absolutely, yeah. Blankets, yep. We wouldn't have a huge amount of use for, but it'd be the likes of clothes. I mean, even myself, like, I would get my own friends to kind of go and clear out their wardrobes for, you know, winter coats and jumpers and hoodies and things that they don't wear anymore, because, you know, what some people have in their wardrobe and don't think they need anymore are in great condition. They can be absolutely used by us to distribute to people that come to our door freezing cold at night that need the extra layer of clothes because they are sleeping in a doorway around town. So there's a lot of ways people can support. You know, it doesn't have to be financial, it doesn't have to be voluntary, but there's a lot of ways people can support us. And, you know, if they get in touch with us, we'll happily, you know, help them along the way and help them support us.
Okay, Brian, listen, once again, thank you very much for taking the call, and it's great.
Thanks
work.
Thanks for having me on, John.
Great work you're doing, and keep
much
it up.
Appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian, and I'm sure we'll be talking again. Unfortunately, we probably have
no
to.
No problem.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Thanks, John. All the best. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Brian McLaughlin there, CEO of Inner City Helping Homes, and if you heard how to make contact there if you want to volunteer or donate.